Up next, Joshua P. Warren, amazing ways to prove psychic ability to yourself. That'll be Joshua's paranormal moment on Coast to Coast AM. It's that eerie time of the week again. Joshua P. Warren with his Coast to Coast paranormal moment. Joshua, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Hey, doing very well. And speaking of eerie, if I sound a little quieter than usual tonight, it's because I'm in a hotel room and I'm speaking this weekend at the big Chicago Ghost Conference, and I'm actually staying in a hotel in the general neighborhood of one of your favorite creeps, George, the killer clown, John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yes.
How's that starting out for a spooky night?
I'm telling you, I just saw a movie on John Wayne Gacy, and that guy truly is the creeps. I mean, that was the things he did in the dressing up like the clown and the obsession he had. Just unbelievable. Talk about eerie.
Well, you know, since that Halloween is on the way, there are all these costume shops that are already selling their wares, and I've already seen a couple of people walking around here dressed as a clown, and it gives me a chill every single time. But, you know, since I've been here in the Chicago area, I've been going to some just hair-raising sites, places that are incredibly spooky, but I must say, so far, maybe the scariest thing that I have done was actually step out onto that new sky ledge they have at the Willis Tower, which, of course, used to be the Sears Tower. And if you haven't heard about this, it actually is a sort of a balcony that sticks out off the top floor of the tower, and it has a clear bottom that's only about 3 inches thick. And when you step on this, there is something so unnatural, so counterintuitive about putting your body out over this area, standing on air, that I was kind of surprised by the little start I got in my heart, you might say. So I recommend that to anybody who doesn't have severe fear of heights.
Tonight's paranormal moment, amazing ways to prove psychic ability to yourself.
Yeah, I figured that, you know, here it is, the beginning of October, and now the Halloween season is full-blown into effect, and it's important for us to really start trying to open ourselves up to paranormal experiences, because people ask me all the time whether or not there actually is more paranormal activity around Halloween. And the answer is yes. For one thing, I believe it has to do with the fact that in our part of the world, we are actually facing away from the sun, and that actually increases a lot of the activity around here because the sun is disruptive to some of these subtle electromagnetic frequencies that manifest in all of these unusual things. But secondly, it has to do with our mindset. It has to do with the fact that we become more aware of what's unusual. We are expecting it to happen, and opening your perception is a big, big key to actually having these experiences. And so I went back and I looked over a lot of the research that I've done over the years into some of the best things that you can do to not only increase this ability in yourself, but also to sort of improve your confidence in the fact that these things are possible. And speaking of Chicago, you know, my friend, Grandmaster Tom Cameron, lives here, and he's one of these death-touch martial artists who practices Dem-Mach, and he projects energy fields, and at a distance, people fall over. And, you know, he actually has been documented by Ripley's, believe it or not, basically killing someone and bringing that person back to life. And so, jeez, you know, this guy knows a lot about, you know, the bioenergy field. And so he and I have talked quite a bit. Now, what I'd like to do this hour is give the listeners some tips on how to start opening that awareness. But let me start right now by throwing out a little teaser maybe we can answer after the break. I'm doing some experiments right now, just some very, very basic experiments with sort of the collective consciousness stuff that you've done quite a bit on this show. And I'm thinking of a number right now between 1 and 10, including 1 or 10. It could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. And I am the only person on the face of this planet who knows what that number is. So if everybody in the audience can make up his or her mind right now about what that number is, I'm going to come back after the break and tell everybody what the number is. And you'll see how this is tying into a bigger experiment that I'm doing.
I normally do this, and I've done this experiment, Josh, between 1 and 5. So 10's a pretty interesting sample, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, there's a 90% chance that you will be wrong, but there's a 10% chance you'll be right. So, but it's, to me, it's very interesting to start this process because you know how you work out a muscle for about a week or two, and that muscle gets stronger and stronger, and finally, one day, you find that, you know, you can do something you couldn't do before, and that's what I found about this bioenergy stuff. And one of the very simple exercises that is pretty impressive that a lot of these martial artists especially do is something called pumping chi or pumping ki, because all of this psychic phenomena starts with recognizing the body is bigger than just the physical structure. There is an energy field that emanates from you. It's like layers of an onion that kind of radiate around you. And when you meet another person, those energy fields interact. So if everybody in the audience who has two free hands can sort of participate in this little experiment, it'll be a good first step for us. What you do is you take both of your hands and then you rub them together very briskly to stimulate circulation. And so if everybody can start doing that right now, rub their hands very briskly.
Unless you're driving.
That's right. We don't want anybody on the road doing this experiment.
Kids,
right,
don't
now.
Do this at home.
That's true. A good warning for all of these additions. And so if you have any cold spots in your hands, rub them out. The important thing is stimulating the hands. And, of course, there are people who are saying, wait a second, are we building up static electricity? No, actually, static electricity is held by two objects that are different from each other. So when you rub your hands together, you're not going to create some big charge that stands around your hands. So after you've rubbed your hands together for a few minutes, place them palm to palm as close together as you can without touching them, and then pull them about 6 inches apart. And then put them as close together as you can without touching them, and then about 6 inches apart. And continue doing this. And as you continue doing this, suddenly you will feel a very strange sensation between your hands. It may feel as though they are being magnetically pulled together or pushed apart. There might be a sense of a thickness or a field between them. And once you have this sensitivity, you can actually move one of your hands around the other, and you will be able to feel one hand moving next to the opposite hand. And at that point, you actually have the awareness to start dealing with this energy that we're going to talk about. And in fact, you can take even an object like a quarter or something and place it on one of your palms and hold the other palm over it, and you can feel the shape of that quarter blocking the energy flow from hand to hand. Now, this is not some kind of weird metaphysical stuff. I mean, this is something that we can actually visualize using imagery nowadays involving both electrostatics and EEG-type stuff that picks up the body's energy fields, squids, and all that. So once you have an awareness of that energy, that's step number one. The next thing that I recommend listeners try out, if they've never done this before, is a very simple thing called the energy wheel. And for the energy wheel experiment, all you need to do is take a little square of paper, maybe about, say, 4 inches by 4 inches, and then you fold that square into a pyramid shape and balance the apex of the pyramid on the pin of a needle and put your hands around it, and then think about it moving left or right. Now, I was telling you on an earlier show, George, that I recently obtained a device called the psychotronic wheel.
Yes.
Which is similar to this, except it's designed in a much more advanced way. And I've gotten to the point now where I actually have video on my website of me moving this thing underneath a glass bell jar sort of dome. And I even pull out a hair dryer and blast this thing, and you see it doesn't move. But when I'm sitting there concentrating on it, I've been able to get it to move. So this is a very simple way. It's a crude way, less sensitive way of doing the same thing. But if you sit there and you put your hands around it, you might think it's just the heat coming from your hands. But once you start moving this thing, you can remove your hands. I think the hands are that mental crutch that you need because you're supposed to put your hands on something to move it, and therefore we believe that that is what's necessary. And after you advance with the energy wheel, then you can also test out different things like trying to make a candle flame move. Or one thing some of the Tibetan monks do is put little matches, and they float them on a bowl of water and then try to make those matches move around.
Joshua, how would you explain this in terms of psychic ability? I mean, listen to this. And by the way, I'm going to give you two of my numbers before the break, and then you can tell us what the answer was when we come back. So I'm at 20% with these two numbers because two of them flashed in my head. But I'm talking to a friend of mine today at a hotel restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Afghanistan and Iraq. And I was just telling him about Pervez Musharraf, who was the 10th president of Pakistan, and he's no longer there as the president, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the odds? Keep in mind, I'm in St. Louis before I head back to L.A. What are the odds of talking about Musharraf? I open the door to the hotel I'm leaving to go to my car, and I run into him.
What?
What are the odds of that? I walk outside, and I see a couple Secret Service guys. I see a couple cops, one I knew, and they're just like around this hotel. I mean, I'm not going to give the name of the hotel. And here he comes. And they've got his door open and stuff like that. And they did not push me out of the side because they knew me. But it was weird. What are the odds of that happening?
I think that you can't even really look at something like that in terms of odds. To me, when these moments of synchronicity occur, what they show is that you are so in touch with the wavelength that you are supposed to be on in your life, that you actually are sort of effortlessly stepping from one geometric connection to another in your life. And, it's not surprising that a person like you has that type of synchronicity because, you are guiding, millions of people all the time through this program and the books and other projects that you involve yourself with. And, I think that when that kind of thing happens, it reinforces the fact that there is something here that is extremely valid for us to focus on. And yet, at the same time, it's not completely embraced by mainstream science because it's too big for what we can do scientifically right now. Scientifically, we need to be able to take something and condense it into a lab experiment that can be done in a relatively short period of time. But if you consider the fact that according to traditional biology, humans, whatever became a human, didn't once have eyes and ears and noses, and over time we gradually developed those things, then it makes sense that right now, we would be in a situation where there is another sense that we are gradually developing, and we don't know exactly what it is, but it has something to do with our awareness of that time-space continuum. And that's why that, we don't see consistency with psychic phenomena. It is an inconsistent thing because humans have been developing it for thousands of years. But, one reason I think we don't use it as much now as we did a few thousand years ago is because the only reason we have a sense is in order to help us survive. And now, if you want to eat, for example, you can go buy a $1 cheeseburger or something like that. there was a time when if you wanted to eat, you had to be a hunter, and you had to get in the mindset of your prey, or you had to be a farmer, and you had to be in touch with the seasons and the cycles of the moon. And we just don't need to be as psychic as much. But that's why I actually spent years studying very successful business people and professional gamblers, and most of them told me that they actually do believe they have an intuition that they follow, something that they try to pursue in by feeling alone.
There's no question, this higher sense. And as I was walking out and I spotted him, I mean, the first thing I did was, you know, it's one of those, oh, George, I can't believe this. So I'm shaking my head like, I can't believe this. I think he thought I was shaking my head no to him. Like, you know, oh, no, it's you.
That could be awkward.
I mean, he gave me one of those stares. But, you know, they whisked him in and off he went. But I better find out why he was here. It was a strange thing. Anyways, the numbers. I saw 2 and 8. Tell me and tell us all what the number was you had selected when we come back. I don't know why. They just popped into my head when you were talking with me. Do you practice ESP all the time?
Yeah, as often as possible. You know, I do so many things that I can't focus on all of it. But one thing I've been working on a lot recently is opening the third eye. And in fact, when we get back, I can tell the listeners and you more about what I've been doing in order to see auras. And believe it or not, I even have a technique you can use to make a wand for yourself that will help you open your third eye. It sounds crazy, but it's one of those things. Prove it to yourself, and I'll tell you how when we get back.
Nothing's too bizarre, Joshua. Nothing at all.
Yeah, well, you know, in fact, I've got something else you might want to check out during the break, George, if you get a chance. I have a free ESP application along with a little test. And, of course, if you go to coasttocoastam.com, you'll find a link there to joshuapwarren.com. If you get a chance to download this during the break, and I'm just going to have it up for a few days, but it's a free ESP test. And no catch, I'm serious. This is just something that I've had a blast with, and so I put it up there. I hope that you'll check it out, and maybe we can talk some more about your results with that as well, George.
That's pretty dramatic. Sounds like fun, too, this test.
Yeah, and it's not the one where I'm asking what number, because I'm doing a separate what number am I picking thing on my website. This is underneath it. You'll see a link there where you can download an actual application, and it's everybody should play with this thing, seriously.
On Wednesday, I'm doing a special show on Bigfoot, 3 separate guests. And if you get a moment, Joshua, listen in on the show, and whenever you're on with us next week with one of your moments, I just want to get your reaction to that, okay?
That sounds good, because I have a lot to say about Bigfoot.
If people email you, how do they find you?
JoshuaPWarren.com. There is no period after the P, JoshuaPWarren.com, and that's where you'll find that separate little test I'm doing, as well as the free ESP software I have up there. And also, as the Halloween season goes on, I'm looking for any, you know, great pictures, great video footage, because we're analyzing stuff for free this time of year.
One of our chat room experts and dear folks, Beyond from the NighthawkZone.com, wants to know if you're related to the late Ed and also Lorraine Warren.
You know, that's a great question. I'm asked that all the time. And the reason that's so significant right now is I am not related to them. However, of course, I'm here for the Chicago Ghost Conference this weekend, and Lorraine Warren is going to be here, and I will be meeting her for the first time. So that's very fitting to have that question. But no, there is no relation to my knowledge. And if any of the listeners want to come see me, just go to chicagohauntings.com and come on out this weekend.
All things paranormal next with Joshua P. Warren. Your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, it'll be our Twilight Zone extravaganza followed by Open Lines 50th anniversary of the Twilight Zone, with a number of guests popping in. William Shatner, Mark Zakri, of course, who wrote the book, The Twilight Zone Companion. Anne Serling, Rod Serling's daughter, will be our guest. Billy Mumy, who in one of my favorite episodes of The Twilight Zone. It's a bad, bad man. Remember that one? And Earl Hamner joins us. Earl wrote and contributed 8 episodes to The Twilight Zone in the early 60s as well. So we're going to have some fun, followed by open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Joshua Warren's Paranormal Moment on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Now, earlier this hour, Joshua asked you to concentrate, use your psychic abilities on a number he was projecting between 1 and 10. You've only got a 10% shot mathematically to get it right, but let's see what you did. I went for the 20%. There were two numbers that came into my head, 2 and 8. Joshua P., what was the number?
All right, let me put you in a corner, George. What do you feel stronger about, 2 or 8?
The 8.
You got it. That's right, George. Now you had a 90% chance of not getting that, but you did, and you know. So there you go. That explains a lot about the position that you're in and the work that you've done. It was indeed an 8, and so therefore. As I mentioned before, I am doing a variety of different experiments like this under different circumstances. I'm going to put this all in a big report. I have a separate test like this that I have on my website, and when I do the show next week, I'll tell everybody what that number is. Now, how
do you feel about that? It is amazing. Oh, well, you know, I used to practice this all the time with my friends, and I learned that the closer you were with someone, the more tuned in both of you were. What I would do, Joshua, and again, I used 1 to 5, so we had a 20% chance, but I would do the chalkboard, a mental image thing. I would tell them to think of a chalkboard and erase everything on it. And I said, as soon as I tell you go, flash a number on the chalkboard that I'm going to project on it. And you tell me what that number is. So I had them clean their mind with this eraser trick, you know, the chalkboard. And then I flashed them a number. And I'm telling you, it's uncanny. They got it right 3, 4 out of 5 times. And I'm telling you about people who are very close to me. Those people that I would just meet and we played this thing, they weren't as accurate. But people who really knew each other, it seemed to work more. Why?
Well, it's pretty evident when you start measuring people's energy fields that everybody has their own unique electromagnetic broadcast that comes from his or her body. That is, proven. It's not debated. And so, therefore, it seems like that when certain people get together, their wavelengths connect in some, very tight, tangible manner. When things get really weird and tricky is when we put somebody inside of a Faraday cage and we know that there is no electromagnetic broadcast that can penetrate that cage.
And yet, explain the cage to
them. Yeah, well, a Faraday cage is just a metal enclosure. It's completely metal. And whenever you have, a completely metal box, and you put something inside of that box, it is shielded from electromagnetic charges and waves. They either form around it or they pass around it. They cannot penetrate into the middle of that. And yet these telepathic experiments still work. And that seems to demonstrate a more, as the physicists call it, non-local effect. This is something that Einstein called spooky action at a distance. And this shows that the mind is actually operating at some level on such an advanced platform that it defies linear transmission like that we are working with right now, broadcasting radio waves all over the place. That this has to do more with the fact that two points in space-time have some kind of a connection with each other. And that leads more to the concept that there is a part of our brains that is trying to develop that is actually far more advanced than this energy that we were talking about last half hour in terms of some bio field. We're talking more about the third eye phenomenon. And in fact, I'd mention that I found a surprisingly effective technique for trying to stimulate the third eye, which can help you see auras and eventually have visions. And it's really fascinating for me to find these simple tools and tricks because, in my opinion, after thousands of years of looking into different shamanistic traditions and so-called mystical traditions, we are finding that our scientific developments over the past few hundred years are just coming full circle and confirming all of these more metaphysical ideas that have always been held in place. So basically, here's what you do to open your third eye. Now, the third eye is this little spot, of course, between your two normal eyes. It's slightly elevated. It's right around your forehead. What you do is you take a wooden stick of some kind. It doesn't matter what sort of stick it is, but you're better off if you have something that's more cylindrical shaped as opposed to, say, a popsicle stick or something.
And don't then poke out your eye.
Yeah, rule number two in these segments, yes, never poke out your eye, because I find in the field I'm running around with a lot of things that are capable of doing that, especially yeah, dowsing rods. So what you do is you take the wooden stick and you put a piece of aluminum foil around the middle section. Now make sure that you leave both of the ends open. And that's partially where the whole idea of a magician's wand comes from, with the two white tips. So you have the wooden stick, the foil is around the middle, and then take some kind of cotton material, cotton thread, piece of cotton fabric, doesn't really matter, and you put a smaller layer of that in the middle of the aluminum. So now what you have here is a layered stick. You've got wood in the middle, then you have the aluminum, then you've got the cotton. Now, we won't go into why all this works, even though we could. Once you have this little wand made, then close your eyes, hold one end of it, and point the other end right at that third eye position between your other two eyes, slightly elevated. And when you do that, and you hold it there long enough, you should begin to feel the strange pressure that builds up around that area. Now, I must warn everyone, some people will get a headache when they do this, especially if you do it too long. So if you feel yourself beginning to get a headache, then obviously you've done it, you know, too long. But you want to do this once in a while. Let's say throughout a day, you might do it two or three times, and you will get to the point to when you can actually point that at your third eye, and it is incredibly sensitive. And once it is incredibly sensitive to that pressure, to that feeling of having that point there, then you're ready to start doing third eye development, which includes seeing the aura. And the most basic technique I can tell you in order to start seeing the aura is to take your hand, unless you have a partner you can work with. If so, that's even better. But if not, you know, put your hand up, spread your fingers apart, and hold your hand up against a white background with, you know, in my opinion, I like it bright light. Some people like it dim. I prefer bright light. And then once you do that, you want to look past the hand. Let your eyes go out of focus. And as you look past the hand, and every time, by the way, that your eyes try to kind of click back into focusing on the hand, try to fight that and continue keeping that soft focus. As you look past the hand and keep your eyes fixed, then eventually you should begin to see a distortion around the fingers that looks a little bit like heat rising off of a hot road. And then over time, as you keep doing this, you'll see some tinges of color that will start to appear, yellowish or bluish. And then over time, the more you do this, the more you'll be able to eventually see all kinds of colors. And the reason that I feel confident that seeing the aura has some objective component is because I have done tests with people who see the aura in which you place that individual on one side of a blinder, and on the opposite side you have a person standing, and the aura seer can tell you the position the person is standing in from simply seeing the other individual's aura extending over the top of the blinder. And of course, once you can see the aura, then you can judge various things about the person based upon the color of the aura, which makes perfect sense because when you get angry or are sad or happy, the energy field around your body measurably changes.
Oh, dramatically.
And we know that the only reason you see the color red as the color red is because of its frequency and wavelength. And so when we know that, you know, when George gets angry, he produces a low frequency, long wavelength, and we also know that creates the color, you know, red. Well, if we see red around George, well, we know George is angry. So there actually is a great component there that is realistic, in addition to the fact that, you know, there are people out there who are colorblind. They cannot see as many colors as the rest of us. To me, it's no big stretch to think that it's possible to see more colors than most people do.
Fascinating. To the phones we go now, Lebanon, Tennessee. Debbie, you're up. Hey, Debbie.
Hi, well, how are y'all doing tonight?
We're great, Deb. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Thanks. I just had a couple of quick questions. One is, I practice yoga, and we were doing the third eye meditation a few nights ago. And normally, you just see black, of course, with your eyes closed and everything. And the other night, I started seeing colors like lavenders and blues and yellows that were just kind of flowing around. What causes that?
Well, you know, Debbie, I think that ultimately it boils down to the fact that when you close your eyes and you only see black, it's because that you are only focusing on the optical eyes. And I always tell people it's very important to remember, you don't see with the eyes. They just capture light. You see with the brain. You don't hear with the ears. They just capture vibrations. You hear with the brain. And it's the same with all your senses. That's why when you dream, you're lying there with your eyes closed, and yet you have all of these experiences that you cannot necessarily differentiate from a waking phenomenon when you're, you know, going through your daily routine. So when you consider that the brain is what actually is experiencing your reality, we are used to always focusing on the information that is optically coming in through the wavelengths of the light in our eyes. When you get to the point to where you truly shift away from that and you realize that you can have a visual experience without using the eyes, in the same way that a blind person can see a ghost, as we recently talked about, then you will begin to see things that are coming in directly to your brain through this third eye, and what you're apparently experiencing are the early stages of that, just getting those basic colors, which will eventually become images, which also may eventually become visions that might show you glimpses of the past or the future or another place in the present.
Okay, now to the phones again we go. We'll go to Charles in Los Baños, California. Hey, Charles, thanks for calling.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, Charles.
Well, I got two quick comments. One, I've seen the color green my whole life, I've noticed, and I've seen, it seems lately more, I see more of a violet. But the most important question I wanted to ask is, since I was a little kid, I've had these experiences where I wake up at night and I think my room's on fire. And I jump out of bed, and then I realize that it's not smoke, it's some sort of cobwebby substance that is just in the air. And then I noticed when I turn the light on, I can see it coming off my fingers like waterfalls. And I wonder, is that getting close to what you're talking about? And how do I, is that the right direction? Should I continue trying to?
What do you think, Josh?
Further that?
Yeah, you know, Charles, that is a very interesting description for a number of reasons. For one thing, this sensation of cobwebs is one of the classic descriptions of a building electrostatic charge. I mean, this is the kind of thing that people experience when they're walking through a haunted house and all of a sudden they start to feel like that there are these little tiny filaments that are attaching to them, or they get that sensation like putting your hand up to the television screen and that electrostatic tingle. And then the fact that you're seeing this sort of flowing off your body is especially intriguing because at our lemur lab, we have done a lot of experiments with Schlieren imagery, which is very sensitive. It shows you subtle emanations coming from the human body. And when you put your hand in front of a Schlieren system, you actually see all of these streams of energy kind of flowing off the hand. So I think that indeed, Charles, you're getting very close to seeing something. You might already be at a higher level, frankly, because this is the energy field that is there, but usually can only be seen with this technology. Now, the fact that this is coming into your bedroom at night means that either you are going into, of course, this altered state when you sleep, which very quickly opens you up to this, or that there is something visiting you in your room. And as far as your ability to see green and violet, I don't know exactly the context in which that has taken place your whole life, but violet, of course, is a very high frequency, and that usually is seen around people who are opening up their minds to a higher vibration. It's associated with psychics and spiritualism. And green is, on the other hand, a color that is usually seen around people who are sort of pugnacious and persistent, and it reminds me of vegetation. You know, if the whole world were to be destroyed tomorrow by an atomic bomb, then all of the plant life would take over and sort of weed its way into every little crack and crevice. And people who have green around them seem to be very persistent, so maybe that has some relevance to your personality.
We have time for maybe one quick question. Marcia in Oregon. Go ahead, Marcia. We only got about 45 seconds for you.
Okay. So one question is, if you get to this level, is there a way to, like, shut it off? So, like, if there's other people that it's not a positive experience with them?
Yeah, you know, Marcia, in the very same way that you can close your eyes to prevent seeing something that is in front of you optically, you can close this off. But it takes time. It's not easy. I have trouble with some of my experiments, but I've interviewed enough people who have this ability to tell you that it can be controlled. But it's one of those things where you have to take it seriously if you get involved with it. And once again, let me just repeat, if anybody wants to experiment, go to joshuapwarren.com. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and try out that free software I've got. I'll have it up there for a few more days.
Super. Fun information tonight, Joshua. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, George. Always fun.
Are you enjoying this weekly effort of the paranormal moment?
I love this. You know, usually I come on this program with you and I never have enough time to talk about all the things I want to. And now I still feel like I never have enough time, but at least little by little, I know I'll eventually get it all out there.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Josh, and good luck on all your conferences.
Hey, thank you, George.
It's Joshua P. Warren, his website, joshuapwarren.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.